Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Good to have the Major with us once again. Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources is with us. For the next 25 minutes, we are here to take your questions, your comments, your complaints, if you have any, your observations about the great outdoors in South Carolina, hunting, fishing, and everything in between, how to cook something that you nab out there, where not to go nabbing, and how to prepare a particular fish that you might catch. The Major is here for that. Our phone number, 888-898-2525, 888-898-2525. Major, good to have you with us once again. How are you, sir?
Always a pleasure to be with you, Phil. Enjoyed our time together as always. So, yes, looking forward to tonight. But tonight, just kind of an open field tonight. Going to hit a couple of things just where we are with legislation right now. A lot of folks have been concerned about flounder, where flounder we're going to end up. We've talked about that a couple times on the show about our flounder limits. And currently that's in conference committee, which means that neither House or Senate could come together on it. So it's at conference committee now, and it could make it out. It could stay there. So we don't know where that's going to end up for now. Flounder limits are still the same as they've been. So that won't change for now. Could change in the future. Couple of things have come through. There's been a bill on the on bear baiting that's kind of moved through for Region 4, which is the coast, Game Zone 4. And that was kind of moved through the House and Senate as well to allow folks to be able to bait bears, to hunt bears over bait. So that's all coming out. And then a few more things. Just, you know, so there was a bill to reduce the number of to increase the distance that a boat had to be from a dock, pier, another boat in the water, an anchor, persons in the water, from 50, which it is now statewide, to 100. And that is also at conference committee, so we don't know if that will come out, how that will come out as yet either. The boating safety bill did not go through this year, so that will be another year before that gets that could get looked at next year again. Right now that's not going to go through. So nothing changes on boating education requirements at all. But
now that we are heading towards summer, you know, Memorial Day weekend's coming up, summertime's coming up, and I know the boat traffic on the waterways has really increased. So this might be a good time for you to throw out a few of your warnings to folks about being careful on the water, being prepared, and things to look for if you're out boating.
Absolutely. So, you know, I'm getting a lot of phone calls from local news outlets wanting to do some boating safety tips, so we can go through some of those tonight again. Certainly, you know, as COVID releases here and we've seen a little bit of a return back to normalcy, it's going to be interesting to see what boating is like this year as it compares to last year when everybody seemed to just be stir crazy and go out on the water everywhere. We had so many people. You know, we talked about last year, boat dealerships didn't have any boats to sell because so many people just were buying boats. They weren't going on vacation. They were buying a boat. So be interesting to see this year if our boating numbers continue to increase, if people enjoyed it last year and more people want to enjoy it this year. So, but as we talk about boating season, as we always talk about boating season coming up, first and foremost, folks need to be checking. Before you take your boat out, look at your registration. That's your numbers on the side of your boat. Make sure your boat is still numbers are still valid. You know, remember this year is the first year of the change. Last year it began. This year is the first year of the full change where you have to pay your taxes once a year, as always. But now when you pay your taxes to the county, you will pay your registration fee at the same time, and DNR will mail your registration to you. Every year. It used to be one you pay for every 3 years. Well, now it's with the counties, just like your car. So you will pay taxes on your boat, and then you'll automatically pay your registration at the county seat, and then they'll let us know, and we'll send you a registration. So that's how it works now. Now, the exemption to that would be if you have a small boat, a John boat, it's not taxed anymore. If it's not taxable, the department will send reminders out, but you really have to be paying attention because it's every year now. Look at your boat, see what the numbers in the boat, you know, what date, and it's always a month, like 6/21, generally, you know, June of 21, that it's going to go out the end of June. So you need to be checking the numbers on your boat before you go out to make sure they're valid. Make sure you got a registration card on board where you can get to it. It's legible. You can always, you know, get a duplicate card for $5. It's not expensive to do that. But once you got your registration figured out, you know, now let's look at safety. We always talk about safety here being important. The most important thing is check your life jackets in your boat, your PFDs, personal flotation devices. Most people store their life jackets in the boat. They'll store them upon their seat sometimes. They get wet, cold, hot during the summer, during the winter, and sometimes they'll rot. They'll get mold on them and they'll rot. So you want to make sure you check your life jackets over, look at them, make sure the straps are good, make sure the material is not ripped, has any tears in it, because you don't want that life jacket to fall apart if you need it. If you get in the water and your life jacket falls apart and all the stuffing comes out, flotation comes out, it's worthless. So make sure you're checking that before you go in the water. You know, always make sure you have enough life jackets on board for everybody on your boat, and then make sure they fit everybody on your boat. Mm-hmm. We always like to remind adults, do not put an adult life jacket in your boat to count for your youngster, a toddler, or a toddler being worse, but of course, a 4 or 5-year-old, even a 6 or 7-year-old, they can't wear an adult life jacket. If they hit the water, no matter how tight you try to tie the straps, it will come off, and it's not going to do them any good. So make sure you go to Walmart or any other boat retailer, you know, out there, marine dealer, and find a life jacket that fits your child. There's so many varieties out there that look good, that have different characters on them, cartoons and things that they like. It's going to make them want to wear it. So they wear the life jacket and it fits them properly. But just the same, if you're a larger person, they do make extra large life jackets. Make sure you got the right size life jacket. So if you need it, it's going to float you. Again, count your life jackets. Make sure you have enough and the right type that's going to float you, like size. And then make sure they're in the boat where you can get to them. So many people lock them up under sea. I talk about it every year, but people continue to do that. They lock them up. They put them in those nice, clear plastic bags and zip them up. Four orange type twos. They zip them up, put them in that bag, and lock them in a seat. Well, if your boat flips over, or you have an accident, something happens, someone else, you're paying attention, you're doing your best, and somebody else runs into you, and your boat flips over, you're ejected into water, and those life jackets are in that plastic bag, zipped up case inside that seat, they're doing you no good. Make sure you can get to them. They're readily accessible. We don't like tickets for that, but we try to remind people about that. That's actually a Coast Guard rule, and there's a reason, again, so that they're where you can get to them. So life jackets always being first and foremost in my mind for safety. Mm-hmm. Pass life jackets, make sure you got a fire extinguisher if you got a boat where your gas tank is under the seat, or where the gas tank is affixed permanently to the hull, inside the hull, or it's so big you can't throw it out. You need to have a fire extinguisher on board the boat. Usually, in most cases, most boats are 1B1, of type B1, will satisfy the requirement for that. Get a bigger boat, it may require 2B1s. Again, fire extinguisher there. Make sure you check your fire extinguisher that it's still good. It's in the green zone. It's not in the yellow or in the red. It's in the green on the little dial so that it will work if you need it. Again, if you have a fire on a boat, there's water all around, but you want to make sure you have a fire extinguisher that will work. Pass fire extinguisher, always have a whistle on your boat. It's required. You have a whistle or sound device, your horn. A lot of times horns quit working, so have a whistle on board so that you can sound for help if you need it. In a fog, a whistle's a big help. People always plan to go out in the water during the daytime. They don't ever plan to be out past dark. But inevitably, they'll end up on the water past dark and their lights won't work. And they'll go, I didn't think I needed lights. Well, you didn't until it got dark. And then you're on the water in the dark, and that's when accidents happen. So you know, make sure your running lights, your navigation lights work. Your front bow light, red and green light, make sure it works. Make sure your stern light, which is the most important, the 360 light, this is the light that has to be seen 360 degrees. If you're on a pontoon, make sure that pole's not bent down and under a bunch of canvas top, bimini top, so when it's folded up, so that you can't see that light. You want to make sure that light is up and erect so they can be seen for 360 degrees, because that's the light that lets people see your boat from every direction. So navigation lights are huge. Navigation lights must be on from official sunset to official sunrise.
Major, along the lines of what you're saying, this reminded me that National Safe Boating Week begins this Saturday, May 22nd. And out on Lake Murray, the Lake Murray Coast Guard Auxiliary is offering free vessel safety checks from 10 a.m. to noon this Saturday at Timberlake Dock and Parking Lot. You can bring your powerboat, sailboat, PWC, paddlecraft, whatever, for a fast free check of safety equipment required on your vessel. If it does not pass, there will be no fines, no penalties, no reports. They're simply just trying to help people make sure that they have all the things that you were just mentioning. And now, even though that's, and correct me if I'm wrong, not directly with DNR, is there anything else that either you guys are offering or are other lakes around the state offering something similar that maybe you could help our listeners be aware of if they aren't sure what else they need or they want some guidance in person to help make sure they're safe?
So Memorial Day, not this weekend, but next weekend, Memorial Day weekend, all across the state, our officers conduct courtesy boat inspections, exactly what you're talking about. They set up a table with some boating materials, safety handbooks, whistles, things of that nature. And they'll be out there doing inspections to inspect boats before they go on the water. It's a volunteer inspection. It's not mandatory. But they'll be at some of the major landings, landing at the dam. They'll be there over Memorial Day weekend on Saturday. So it's just one of those things we do to be proactive, to get out in front, exactly what you said. We'll check over your boat. We'll make sure you got all the safety equipment. And if you don't have the right safety equipment, we're not going to write you a ticket, but we're going to tell you what is missing so you can get it right before you get on the water. And that way you don't have to worry about getting the ticket later.
Those
are free. We found that to be a huge success for us, and the people that go through them really appreciate it because they get to find out what they need and reminding things they may have forgotten.
It's SC Wild here on Sports Talk with Major Billy Downer. Question or comment, 888-898-2525. You can also shoot us a question on Twitter at Sports Talk SC. If you have an opportunity to connect with us there, we'll pass that on to Major Downer as we continue here for a few more minutes this edition of SC Wild on Sports Talk. You know, we've got the big international gathering of the world's best golfers down at Kiawa at the Ocean Course, and the eyes of the golfing world will be on South Carolina now the next 4 days. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful opportunity for the state of South Carolina to show off in that part of the state and the low country and the lowlands and all that kind of good stuff. How much is DNR involved in participation down there, protection, maybe dealing with some of the issues that might come up with you-know-who, the alligators and all that, the wildlife around there? Right. You guys heavily involved in this event?
So, no, not heavily involved. We do participate from a standpoint with our ESF 13 partners, SLED, in the State Law Enforcement Division, and the Probation Parole Pardon Services. We help when we're requested for security details. The perimeter, basically, around those events, these big events, sometimes we will work for perimeter security, not as involved on the event site itself. You know, the alligator situation, those golf courses are pretty much, again, they are very, very purposeful in their preparation to make sure they have cleared areas before those tournaments happen. So we're involved in those things with our alligator control agents way before those tournaments ever happen.
Yeah.
So that's something. There's no surprises generally at those events. We are involved in security. So yeah. Which brings a point up, Phil.
Yeah. I mean,
right now, for instance, we've got officers assisting in Chester County. Been all over the news. Armed subject shot at police officers, the county officers yesterday. Bush bond subject went into the woods, and our officers, along with Triple P, Probation, Parole, Pardon Services, Highway Patrol, SLED. DNR officers, we're all helping stand the perimeter for this subject to try to bring him to justice before he hurts someone else. I think he's wanted on two murder charges as well. But again, it brings up the point. Our officers are involved in so many other things outside of fishing game a lot of times. You know, that was our traditional role.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about through the years Phil and show that our officers now get involved in a lot more. State House, when we have protests, we're out there standing with other officers as well. But in this case, trying to protect the public in Chester County, our officers are out there now working 12-hour shifts on perimeter, again, trying to protect citizens of Chester County. So just want to shout that out and thank our officers that are out there doing that. Because they're putting in some extra time there for sure.
Absolutely. Have a question here from a listener who asks, where is the best, let me go back here and get the question exactly right, where is the best place to get a gator processed?
So Cordray's is a big one. A lot of people go there. That's across the lake in Lake Marion. Then there is 301 Processing. They're a big popular one over in Florence County. 301 Processing is probably one of the biggest ones that does it.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of deer processing, but they do a lot of alligator processing as well. They know how to clean them, those kind of things. You know, take the hide, those kind of things there. But 301, Cordray's, which is over in Calhoun County.
Mm.
So those are two places I know about. Particularly, a lot of people go to 301, I know that. And that's convenient to Lake Marion, Moultrie, where people, a lot of people do their hunting.
What is coming up on the outdoor schedule in terms of hunting and fishing regulations and things like that?
Sure. So right now, the biggest thing's fishing. Fishing's in. Hot weather, when it gets really hot next week, going to be in the 90s. Holy cow. We're going to be baking, wishing for some rain. But it gets hot like this. Your panfish are biting in our area lakes. Stripers right now getting some good reports on the Santee River, particularly not Santee, excuse me, upper part foot around Pax Landing in Sumter County, on the Watery River, excuse me, coming in Watery, where the Watery and the Congaree meet for Santee. That portion of the river there, the trestle, has been some nice stripers caught there. So getting some reports of stripers. You know, again, we talked about that in our last couple of shows there, that our natural stripers still run the river to go up the river to spawn, and they're doing that, and that's why they're up there right now. And this is the time of year they do that, so folks are catching them right now, pretty good size fish right now on the river near Pax. So just a little information there. This time of year, you know, again, Lake Murray, other upper lakes, you know, Strom Thurmond, Hartwell, you get stripers biting across the state this time of year. Deep water, typically, with herring, you know, live bait or cut bait, and dropping it down real high, real low, real deep to catch those fish in these big lakes. So fishing is the big deal right now. Panfish, bass fishing, you know, largemouth bass fishing, big this time of year right now. Everybody's doing a lot of fishing. So it's kind of to each his own. Mm-hmm. Get black water and go get some nice panfish, get some flyers, get some bluegill, get some redbreast. Those are all biting this time of year.
What about towards, as you go, you know, east to the ocean and people are heading out to the various areas of great fish concentration, I guess, offshore? What are you recommending?
50, 60 miles offshore right now. This is the time of year. I'm hearing, again, good reports on mahi-mahi, your dolphin, are offshore now, and some folks are catching those in some good numbers. Wahoo, of course, are out there at the same time. But this is, you know, April, May is typically when that happens. When it gets really hot, things start slowing down offshore. Later summer here, we hit the summer months. But right now, May is still good offshore. Charleston Hole, Georgetown Hole, those places that most people know. Again, you're talking 50, 60 miles. You're talking about 4 or 5 good night with the price of gas. It's probably $800 to go out there now and turn around and come back. So that's just in gas. Not to mention the $250,000 boat you got to be in to go out there. So, it's an expensive game. It's fun, but it's expensive. It's best served with about 8 people paying for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, that's kind of the hit. You know, inshore, you know, redfish right now, flounder are starting to pick up. You know, your sheephead on your rock pilings, bulkheads, things like that, where you can find the structure for those. Again, a variety, you know, speckled trout, you know, on the tides, this trout and the red drum together, you'll kind of get those within an hour of each other a lot of times on the rising or falling tide. Again, inshore's good. This is when it starts getting better. So flounder gigging starts happening this time of year. Starts warming up, flounder starts moving inshore again. You start finding flounder at your low tide levels at your favorite spots. So that's kind of the whole deal for fishing. Right now, from a hunting standpoint, you know, folks are out there hunting hogs on property. We've got, coyote, people go out for coyotes right now. When it's hot like this, coyotes probably are not a popular deal, but definitely hogs. People are still hog hunting, taking the dogs and using the dogs to hunt hogs, do that in swamps and things to try to control hog population. Again, you know, hogs are open year-round, so, and we appreciate the folks that go after them because it helps reduce our numbers of our feral hogs.
And those things are still running. Those things are still running wild and running in large numbers.
They are. Again, back to legislation. Our legislature did pass a bill, working on a bill of hogs to help control the illegal transportation of hogs. These people that want to trap hogs and go move them and put them out in your county where you don't want them. So that's still going on. So we're trying to create some better legislation, better laws to help protect against that. Because our officers, right, you know, for years have been a little strapped on how to prevent it. You actually had to see somebody trap them in the woods and chase them down the road and know that they were, you know, crossing the county line, going somewhere they weren't supposed to be. And those laws, trying to tighten those laws up, while at the same time recognizing your local farmer who has two or three sows in his backyard that he's trying to raise for meat. So it's a little bit of a game there to figure that out. What's the best way to approach that? But the legislature was working on that. I believe they did pass a bill on that. So, again, some movement on that as well. But hogs this time of year, it's hot. Not my best time to go hog hunt, but a lot of people like to do it. So, when it's hot like this. But, you know, as my old boss used to say, just a couple more months and we'll be hunting deer again.
So, that's right.
You know, August is right around the corner, literally. I mean, we're talking about 2.5 months, 3 months, and you'll be in deer season again.
Well, so, by the time, you know, we get through Memorial Day weekend, we hit the 1st of June, vacations are worked in, you look up, football practice is underway, and hunting season is right back in front of us.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, a lot going on. Again, you know, our state, we're blessed with a lot of water, a lot of wild places, spaces that people can enjoy both hunting and fishing. And fishing right now is going to be the big deal, and there's plenty of water out there for folks to enjoy it. When it gets hot next week, boating's going to hit the fan because people are going to want to go out there and get on that water and cool off, no doubt about it. Again, one of the things I would say before we leave is, you know, folks want to go out in the water and enjoy the water. Remember the rules of the road. When you go out in the water, our waterways, there's not a yellow or white line out there like it is on your highways. Look out for other people. Number one cause of accidents in our state consistently year to year is failure to maintain a proper lookout. That means the driver, the operator, the captain of the boat, it's your responsibility to pay attention to what's going on around you, what's going on in your boat, what's going on around you, behind you, particularly if you're pulling somebody, that you know what's going on. So many times you're scared to death, you're pulling children out there and they're on a tube and they fall off and here comes some knucklehead running wide open right to him, and you're just praying he sees him. So, again, maintain that proper lookout. Almost all of our accidents are attributed to that. When it doesn't come to that, speed, safe speed, and distance. You know, maintain safe speed. We don't have speed limits in our lakes, and I had a call last week from somebody complaining about a boat that was going very fast, and we don't have speed limits, and we really probably don't want speed limits. People that say they want speed limits don't understand what that means. It means when you want to go fast, you can't go fast either. When you want to cool off and open it up, you can't if you put speed limits in place. So you got to use common sense. People that have grown up in the state and have always boated in the state, we have good common sense. Folks that don't know about boating, unfortunately, don't always have good common sense. But maintain safe speed and distance. That means if it's choppy, slow down. If it's rough on the water, slow down. If it's dark, slow down. Because when it's dark, you can't see as well. You can't react as fast, so slow down. And your distance, you know, maintain a safe distance from other boats that you can react. Just the biggest thing.
We have got to go, Major. Great job. Have yourself a great weekend, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Enjoy it, Phil. See you later.
As always, that'll do it. SC Wild from DNR here on Sports Talk.